Morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. Today we read from St. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at the first verse. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Jesus is returning for his church. This is what the wedding illustration tells us. Jesus is the bridegroom in this parable, and the bride is his holy Christian church. That's a common biblical illustration. It helps to know a bit about the customs of Jesus' day so that this parable will make sense to us. The wedding couple didn't go on a honeymoon in those days. Instead, they were treated like royalty in their own home. The wedding celebration lasted a week. No one knew the exact hour when the groom would come. It could be during the day or in the middle of the night. However, when he did come and enter into the wedding hall or home, the attendants had to be ready. It wasn't permitted to come late. It was also not permitted to walk the city streets at night without a light. You can see the predicament the foolish virgins found themselves in. The groom had arrived and would shortly go into the wedding hall, yet their lamps were running out of oil, and they had neglected to take any extra oil with them. Without oil, the lamps would go out. So they went to buy more, but by the time they came back, the wedding had begun and they could not enter. The meaning of the parable is clear. The oil that is in the lamps represents the gospel and sacraments of Christ. It is through these means of grace that the Holy Spirit calls us to faith and keeps the light of faith alive in our hearts. The wedding is heaven, and the entrance into the wedding is given only to those who have the Holy Spirit, for only they have true faith. The 10 virgins represent the total number of those who are outwardly attached to the church. The wise virgins are the Christians who really were members of Christ's church. The foolish virgins are those who attached themselves to the church but neglected the gospel and sacraments. They heard, but they did not hear. They paid no attention to the gospel. It bored them. They thought it was unimportant. They had no use for it. So when the day came that they most needed it, it wasn't there. But it was too late to get it. Now is the time to hear the gospel. Now is the time to believe it. Now is the time to take refuge in the wounds of Jesus, to find his grace in holy baptism, to find his forgiveness in the holy supper of his body and blood. Now is the time, because on the day of his return, it will be too late. Christ is returning for his church, but not everyone who is attached outwardly to Christ's church belongs to the church. The foolish virgins belong to the church, but they don't. They are baptized. Baptism saves, but they're not saved. They hear the absolution. The absolution gives them forgiveness of their sins, but they don't have the forgiveness of their sins. They eat and they drink the body and the blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. And this body and blood give the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation from sin, death, and hell. But they don't have forgiveness, life, or salvation. Surrounded by these precious means of salvation, they are not saved. And why? Because they fail to see what really matters. Like the foolish virgins who were part of the group but had no oil in their lamps, they belonged to the church. They had their names properly recorded in the church records. They gave an offering and participated in the various activities, but they did not believe. They did not hide the word in their hearts. They did not guard it, keep it, and take it in. It went in one ear and out the other. All that religious stuff meant nothing to them. They didn't even notice that their oil vessels were empty. Whoever you are, nothing can be more precious to you than the gospel and sacraments of Jesus that reveal to you your Savior in your deepest need. Think of all the religious foolishness that occupies people's minds, and then consider how little time is spent preaching, teaching, expounding upon, and delving into the precious mystery of God's eternal grace revealed in the suffering of the God-man Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. It's a simple matter to be ready for Christ's return. It's a matter of having the gospel. Jesus gave his great commission to his disciples in Matthew 28 after telling them to teach all nations and baptize them by his authority in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He added the words, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The word observe here means to keep, to guard, to treasure. That's a simple matter, but it becomes complicated. And we make it so. We're so easily distracted from what is precious, and we spend our time and our energy on things that are fundamentally worthless. What should we be doing with our time while we wait for Jesus to come back and take his church home? We should be drinking in his promises. We should be listening to his voice. We should be discussing and talking about what he says to us. This is what it means to keep oil for the lamps. God wants his children to care about what he says. He wants us to listen to him because we love his voice and find what he says more important than what anyone else says. If you care about the gospel, you take it in. You keep your flask full of oil. The only way to run out of oil is to pay no attention to it. And the only reason you pay no attention to it is because you just don't care. But not to care about the oil, not to care about the gospel, is not to care about God and not to care about heaven. As the hymnist puts it, earth has no pleasure I would share, yea, heaven itself were void and bare, if thou, Lord, wert not near me. When I was a boy, I was bothered by Mark Twain's character, Tom Sawyer, because he didn't want to go to heaven and sit around on clouds playing a harp. I knew that that wasn't what heaven was like. It was rather a beautiful place where there was no suffering or sorrow or anger or any other kind of sin or the results of sin. How sad, I thought, that anyone would have such an attitude about heaven, as if he would rather go to hell. But those who don't want to know God don't want to go to heaven. All heaven is an intensification and purification of what we have by faith right now. In other words, just as the gospel promises us forgiveness of all our sins for Christ's sake, in heaven we experience that innocence and joy that today we believe but don't always feel. Just as the gospel promises us fellowship with God and one another while we are still living here on earth, it won't be until heaven that this fellowship is felt in its full purity and love. The hymnist says it well. We have all things Christ possessing, life eternal, second birth, present pardon, peace, and blessing while we tarry here on earth, and by faith's anticipation, foretaste of the joy above, freely given us with salvation by the Father in his love. To love the gospel today is to love heaven on the last day. We won't find anything in heaven that we haven't already received through faith here on earth. And this is why St. John in Revelation describes heaven as he does, picturing for us the Lamb who was slain. The Christian loves the crucifixion of Jesus for him. Christ for us isn't just the name of our radio broadcast. It is the theme of our faith, and Christ for us will also be the theme of our joy in heaven. We have everything heaven is right now, but it is not by sight or feeling. It is by faith. When the church has lost her love for the Word of God, she is no longer the church. When the Christian cares nothing about hearing, learning, talking about the holy mysteries of the faith, that Christian has run out of oil. His faith won't burn anymore. He had better take serious stock of his situation before Jesus returns, because when Jesus returns, it will be too late. Nobody knows when that day will be. We know that we don't need to know. We know that we cannot know the day or hour that Christ will return. Every date setter is therefore a false prophet, period. We don't need to disprove anyone's theory about when Jesus will return. If someone says he knows, he contradicts Jesus who told this parable. But we do know that he will return to judge. He won't return to set up here on earth an earthly 1,000-year reign. He will create the new heavens and the new earth. He purchased this home with his blood. He promised it to us. He gave it to us in the precious gospel and sacraments. It is our home today by faith, but we won't enter it until Jesus himself greets us at the door and welcomes us in. And what a day of joy that will be. Just think of it. No more regrets and guilt for what we've done wrong. No more worry over what may go wrong. No more sadness or anguish of any kind. No more pain. Arthritis, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, depression, you name it, it will be gone forever. Never again mentioned among God's people. Nobody will ever steal again or lie or cheat or tear down his neighbor. And we won't even want to do any of these things ever. Our hearts will be so pure that no sin will ever come into them. This is the glory that God will reveal in his children, in those who found God in Christ and found Christ in the lowly but holy means of salvation, the gospel and the sacraments. And so we treasure our oil. It is for us the true oil of gladness. It lights our way into the wedding hall where true joy will be found forever. We pray for that blessed day as we echo the prayer at the close of the Revelation of St. John. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. We thank you for joining us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Christ for Us is sponsored by the congregations of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. During Advent, we have midweek services at First American in Mayville, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, At Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, it will be Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. And on Sunday morning, we have Divine Service at First American in Mayville at 8 o'clock, at Grace in Crookston at 10:30, and at First Evanger in Fertile at 12 o'clock noon. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.